On today's episode, I'm going to talk to you guys about force multipliers.
Welcome to the Mind Your Self-Defense Podcast, where my goal is to teach men and women how to gain confidence by connecting to their inner badass. I am your host, Sensei Andrew. I am a black belt in Krav Maga, NRA firearms instructor, a U.S. Navy veteran, and owner of Rise Above Self-Defense. By using interviews with industry professionals, self-defense students, product reviews, and personal experience, I can help guide you to your badass.
I hope all of you guys are doing well. Force multipliers. Okay, first of all, what is a force multiplier? A force multiplier is anything that you use or your opponent uses to give them an advantage by multiplying the force they're able to generate. So what I mean by that is, if I don't have any weapons on me at all and I'm fighting, the power that I could generate is 100% based off of my body and my movement. So if you guys listen to the episode 2 weeks ago on how to generate power, you guys know how to maximize your efficiency using your power with your body. But if I have, say, a pair of brass knuckles on my hand, that just made my punching that much more forceful, gave it more strength. So that is a force multiplier. It's just like, you know, if you guys ever seen the movie Roadhouse, where the guy had a knife on his boot, he was going to kick anyways. So that gives him the force from the kick, and then you add the blade and it gives it more damage. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a more powerful kick. It just means that it's more elevated than if he didn't have the knife on the tip of his boot. So a force multiplier can be pretty much anything. A pencil, anything you could use to help give you a little advantage over your opponent. And it also includes another person. So if you are in a fight and you're fighting one-on-one and you're beating the person, then another person comes in to help out the person that you're beating, now the other person is a force multiplier. So it doesn't have to be a handheld weapon or something to give you the advantage. It's pretty much just something that's giving you or your opponent an advantage over the other person. So you're increasing the force that's going to go against your opponent, or they're increasing their force that's going against you. So that's what a force multiplier is. Any weapon, a pencil, a baseball bat, a gun, a knife, a stick, those are force multipliers, another person. But one of the biggest force multipliers that I think kind of get neglected when it comes to self-defense is fitness. Fitness is a force multiplier. Some people might not agree with me that it is a force multiplier, but I think it is. Because if you look at you guys checked out the episode last week on the five physical attributes, stamina was high up on the list, more than strength. So you need to be fit. Most of the time, whoever has the most gas in their tank is going to win the fight, or they have the best chance of winning the fight. So you have to make sure that you are fit enough to sustain yourself in the fight. It doesn't mean that you have to be, you know, a fitness model or anything like that. You just have to have the stamina for whatever you're trying to do. I've mentioned to you guys before that, you know, I'm 6 foot, 240 pounds. Yes, I have lost some weight, and it's because I'm working at it, because I want to make my force multiplier better. The thing is that you need to understand that anything you do that to give you an advantage in a fight is a force multiplier. So if you're practicing, that's a force multiplier. If you're pressure testing, that's a force multiplier. If you're stress testing, you know, sparring regularly and trying out new opponents and stuff like that, all that will translate to a real life situation. So you're actually increasing your chances. But again, to get back to the stamina thing, I am not a runner. I don't enjoy running at all. And I'm not good at it. And I'm not good at it because I don't enjoy it. But I don't train to run. I train to fight. So I can do 5 minutes of nonstop fighting. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not going to be tired. It doesn't mean that some of my technique is going to suffer. It doesn't mean that I won't puke on you. All that, there's a possibility of all that happening. But I can still do it for 5 minutes nonstop. Now, and that's because I trained for that. Your average fight is not going to last longer than 5 minutes. Okay. In reality, most fights are over in about 20 seconds. So you got to have the stamina to take you past the 30 second mark if you're the one losing the fight. And most of the time the fights end that fast because it's more of like a sucker punch. It's more of an ambush on most of the time, why the fights are over so quick. If you go on YouTube and you watch videos of people being attacked and, you know, even, you know, trying to get kidnapped and that kind of stuff, 99% of the time it's an ambush where the victim doesn't know what's coming. And the attacker does. So you have to be able to survive that before you could go into using your technique to protect yourself. That's why situational awareness is such a big thing. Okay? Knowing your area, knowing the surroundings. Every area has a certain look to it. So if you're at the beach and the person is wearing blue jeans and a trench coat, that should be a red flag right there. It doesn't mean you have to call the cops on them. It doesn't mean you have to go and beat them up or anything, man. All it means is that you should be extra aware or alert of where that person is the whole time you're at the beach. Okay? Because that person looks out of place. you know, when you're going to certain environments, you know, it should be easy to spot something that doesn't fit because it's not set up for that environment that you're in. So if you're in a restaurant and it's a nice restaurant where, you know, you don't have to get super dressed up or nothing, but, you know, it's above casual. And, you know, you see a guy walk in with cargo shorts and flip-flops and a tank top, that person should stand out. So it's just be aware of your surroundings and are the people in your immediate area behaving the way they should behave in that environment. You know, that those should give you little red flags. Like I said, it doesn't mean you have to go and beat them up or confront them or nothing. All it does is mean that you pay a little extra attention to them. So if they do something, you guys could react to that. There's always pre-attack indicators, okay? So anyways, back to the stamina. If I want to get good at running, I know I've said this before, but I can't not say this enough. If you want to get good at whatever activity you're trying to do, you have to practice that activity. Doing something else for that activity will help you, but it's not going to increase your technique of whatever activity you're doing. So going to the gym and lifting weights and all that stuff, that's awesome. It's going to make you stronger, but it's not going to make you a better fighter if you're not practicing how to fight. Running is going to give you cardio, but if you are not practicing how to fight, it is not going to give you the cardio you need for a fight. Okay, so this is why you need to train, practice what you're training for. It doesn't matter if you're a dancer, baseball player, whatever. Going to the gym and lifting weights and getting stronger physically will help you swing a bat faster and hit the ball farther. Okay, but that strength is not going to do anything for your swing. It's not going to help you develop your swing. So you need to practice swinging and hitting baseballs. But if you increase your strength or you multiply your force by getting stronger, then when you combine that with your swing, you are going to get the maximum force that you could get out of it. Okay, and if you use your body in conjunction to your swing, now you're generating more power. This is why guys like Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and all these guys, they could hit the ball out of the park consistently, because if you watch their swings, they're not just using their arms. They're using their whole entire body. And that's what helps them generate the power. Okay? And most of these dudes are pretty fit. They don't have to be jacked. But they're fit. And they have strength. And it just helps them with their swing and with their whole body movement. It just helps them hit it that much farther. Okay? So, force multipliers, fitness is a big one. If, you know, if I was my 300 pounds that I used to be, excuse me, years ago, there's no way I'd be able to fight for 5 minutes nonstop. I'd be lucky if I lasted 20 seconds. So, it's just, you have to take that in consideration. And I don't think a lot of people do. Like I said, you don't have to be super fit to be able to survive a fight. I've seen and I've fought guys that are close to 300 pounds, around 6'5". I'll tell you guys a little story. We were in Vegas. I think it was 2020. It was in January, right before COVID hit. I was in Vegas for a workshop with Sensei Fabio and Sensei Phil and Mashihan. And there was a workshop with Ryan Hoover, who's one of the guys I really look up to, and he owns Fit to Fight in North Carolina. And he doesn't come out to the West Coast too often, so Vegas was the closest that he was going to be, and he was there for the SHOT Show and stuff. So this was before I got into SHOT Show. So me and Fabio and Sensei Phil and Shihan, we met up at the dojo in Vegas. It was Krav Maga Vegas, I believe was the name of the place. And we had four experts. It was a 5-hour class, and each one had an hour, 15 minutes with us, and we were learning different techniques. Well, the owner of the school, his name is Donovan. Big, big guy. Cool as hell. He was about 6'3", 6'4", about 300 pounds. He had a little belly on him. But man, that guy could move. That dude moved so fast. And at the time, I was about 260. He picked me up like I weighed a pound. I mean, everybody in the class was like amazed, including myself. He scooped me up, and he was going to slam me to the ground, and he did it with such force and such energy. I thought I was going to do a face plant on the mat. And he stopped me literally about a half inch from the mat. He stopped my face about a half inch from hitting the mat because he wanted to show you and he wanted to show us that big dudes can still move fast. And after that, I was like, wow, that just totally reset my mindset on how I think about big people being able to move in a self-defense situation. So, I mean, like I said, he scooped me up like I didn't even weigh 5 pounds. And at the time, I was 260. And he was going to body slam me face first into the ground so fast. And he had me where I couldn't use my arms to break my fall. So my face would have broken my fall. And like I said, he went so fast, I didn't even know what happened. And I couldn't react to what he did to me. And he stopped my face from hitting the ground about a half inch from the mat. And then he gently placed me to the ground. And that really, like I said, it really reset the way I think about big people being able to move. And not only that, his footwork was amazing. And, you know, he showed us some techniques to improve footwork and stuff. And it was a really great workshop, and I'm glad I attended it. And I've learned quite a bit from that workshop. And it was cool sharing it with Sensei Phil and Sensei Fabio and my Shihan. So it was really cool. So I just want you guys to know that, you know, Donovan was a big man, but he was able to move quick and with force because he trains to do that. If he was to not train that, he wouldn't be as fast or as capable to move as fast as he was, because he even said he wants to be a force multiplier on himself. So you train the technique, you train the movement, you train all that stuff, it increases your force. Not necessarily your power force, but the speed on how you could enforce that force, if that even makes sense. The speed of how fast that force could get to the person. If you guys ever played Dungeons and Dragons or any video game, there's always power-ups, right? So if you have your stock, say you're playing Call of Duty or something like that. I've never played. I've seen it, but I've never played. But say you're playing Call of Duty. And at the first level, you get a basic pistol, okay, which whatever damage is done by... it's regular damage. You don't get extra damage. Then throughout the game, you might pick up another pistol that increases the damage by, like, say, 3 or 4%. Okay. That's a force multiplier. Okay. Because now it's multiplying the force from 0 to 3 if it's a 3 times. If it's a 5 times, it's 5 times stronger. If it's 10 times, 10 times stronger, etc., etc. And then say you have that gun in the game, and then you pick up ammo, and the ammo gives you like a +1, +2 on top of what the gun gives you. So if you have a x3 gun, excuse me, if you have a x3 gun, and you add, you know, just say dragon breath ammo, which, you know, they don't make for pistol that I know. That's the ammo they used in John Wick 4, the flaming ammo, incendiary rounds. And say that gives you a +3. Okay, so you add the +3 from your gun plus the +3 from your ammo. So that gives you a +6. So you're doing 6 times the damage that you would have done if you were using the regular first level entry gun. Okay, the same thing works for fighting. If you hit someone and you're only doing extension, you're gonna get some damage points. We'll put it in the context of a video game. You'll get some damage points for that. But if you increase, if you do rotation on top of the extension, you'll get a little bit more damage points than just the extension. And if you're throwing a straight shot and you actually do a weight transfer along with the rotation and the extension, you're going to get maximum damage points of what your body could generate. If you put a pair of brass knuckles on and you generate the power the way you're supposed to, now instead of getting the 100% out of your body, you're getting the 100% out of your body plus whatever force the brass knuckles will give you, okay? So that's what a force multiplier is. But I really want you guys to focus on the sense of, have the understanding that fitness is a force multiplier. Okay, because if you could outlast your opponent, then you are increasing your chances of survival. So I want you guys to be aware of that. That you guys, this is something that's in your control. If you're fighting someone and they pull a weapon and stuff, that is out of your control. You have to deal with that problem when it arises. But fitness is in your control. Okay? You can control if you're going to be fit or not. Okay, like I said, it doesn't have to be super fitness or whatever. You just have to be able to sustain yourself in a fight. So, you know, I hope that clears up what force multipliers are. Any little self-defense, knick-knack weapons that you see on the internet or on TV or whatever, those are force multipliers in sense, but I don't think they really work. I've tried some of them, and I wouldn't recommend them. You guys know I recommend the flashlight. That is a force multiplier, too. Okay. And it's more than, because it has the blinding ability and it has the impact ability. So it gives you, it's like a 2-in-1 weapon if you know how to use it. Okay. So I got some stuff coming up I wanted to tell you guys about. I'm going to do a giveaway on Instagram for some Mind Your Self Defense t-shirts. I'm going to do I'm going to draw a woman winner and a male winner. And I will be putting all that stuff. It'll be coming up in the next episode. I'll have all the stuff on what you need to do for the giveaway. The online course is coming along really, really well. There is a good chance that I could drop it before September. So that's looking good. Next week's episode, I finally did it. I'm going to have my interview with Sensei Fabio. He's a busy man. And we were finally able to get together and schedule it, and we recorded it and everything, and that's going to drop next week. Okay. So with any questions, comments, collab ideas, reach out to me, Andrew@riseaboveselfdefense.com, or you can visit the website www.riseaboveselfdefense.com. And remember, only you can unleash your inner badass.